Getting right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggins with you on a Tuesday. Your guys' favorite day of the week for obvious reasons.
Big day. Big, big, big day.
I just want to win, Jen.
Yeah.
Sounds like you already did.
After that cheerleading banquet tonight to wrap up the year at California Trail, have some cake, go home. A little late night Royals game. You know what that means? Yeah, baby. Another win.
Yep.
Hey, I'd suck for a couple years.
Yep, for sure. 100%.
I don't know if the Royals are going to win, but I will.
Well, it's Lorenzen on the mound against Songbird.
I mean, that's a really good threesome.
Who's like the modern-day Songbird of our current? Is it Adele? Are we already past Adele?
Yeah, I feel like she peaked.
She kind of retired,
yeah,
though.
She's like done.
Yeah. I found an interesting thing. I've been on an Adele kick. Recently I found Adele. I want to say I didn't like her at the beginning because it was all like dark. And then I'm listening to more. I'm like, all right, it's legit, right? Obviously, but apparently, and this is, I don't know if this is the case. Like, she lives in LA, flies to Vegas every day for her show, but doesn't know anybody in the band's name.
Hmm.
That's weird.
I thought so too. Somebody was telling, I forget who was telling me that story though.
That's what happens when you have residency though.
Yeah. Is it really? I had no idea. I couldn't imagine that performing that way and not knowing who these people are.
That's crazy.
I always tell people, do whatever you want to do with how you want to go see concerts or spend your own money. But residency for me, because we went and saw Miranda Lambert in Vegas. I can explain why, but it's I don't know. Either way, went to Vegas as a family. Mom loved her. It was her birthday. We made a little trip for her. And it was staged. It was written out. Mm. And they were like, she's going to play for an hour and 15 minutes, and she's going to be gone.
That's the casino concert. I saw John Mellencamp that way. Did she at least play her hits? Does she have?
She has a
Miranda Lambert.
She has a slew of hits.
Okay.
Heard of him.
The House That Built Me, Kerosene, Bluebird, all these. She has a ton of songs. But she, it was like an hour and 15 minutes. She did one costume change. At the very end, there were some lights and flares and whistles. And then it was like, all right, please exit towards the back of the auditorium and have a great night. And it was like, okay.
Yeah, get back into that casino. That's the way casino concerts are. If you don't mind just seeing 90 minutes of all their top songs and you're in and out, it's great. They want you back in there gambling. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if that's what you want to do, and that's, you're close.
Yeah.
You know, you're there.
You think Adele is that short, though? I guess John Mellencamp was about 90 minutes. So
probably have a time limit.
Yeah, because
venue's like? Is it just like seats? Can you like?
It's like a theater. Like where we went, it looked like the Midland.
Okay.
But like you had to walk all the way around the casino to get to this. It was in Caesars. And it was like in the back corner. And they like direct the crowd to go. You basically get an entire view of Caesars, which is massive casino and hotel. And then you go to this little spot and they're like, all right, please enter. And you go in there and it's just theater sitting. Two sections.
Okay.
And then there's like a countdown. It's like show starting and everyone just sits there. And then like before you know it, it's over.
Mellencamp was outside on the golf course and we had bleachers.
That's cool.
Wow.
It was at that Tahoe golf tournament I went to years ago. And so, but it was still part and put on by the casinos. And I'm like, all right, I guess this is what you want. Like, I don't mind a shorter concert. Like, I've got the attention span of a gnat. And so you're watching the opening act and you got all these breaks and these guys never take the stage on time. I'm like, that's what's good about a casino concert. You know that guy or gal is going to take the stage on time. They're going to be over in a timely manner, and you're going to be on with your day.
And it's not going to be, hey, I'm playing this new song.
Exactly. Now I can go to the bathroom or grab another beer or whatever the case may be when they play the new stuff that nobody's interested in. You don't get any of that at a casino concert.
Good.
Hit. Take care.
You might have a casino and a stadium in Kansas.
Well, I think it's going to be difficult for them because that star bond is a really strong tool to use, whereas I think the state of Missouri has to just write funds out of their treasury, and that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough for them to put a lot out there. Certainly Jackson County not being able to pass a sales tax hurt them. So I actually think we're probably, I think we're in the driver's seat on this deal. It wouldn't surprise me if we get both of them. I think it's also difficult that they couldn't pass something during the legislative session. If they would have passed something during the legislative session, it may have changed the direction of things. You know, I know the governor of Missouri has talked about calling a special session in June, and my my thought is, I've been in the legislature for 13 years. What's going to change during the special session that didn't happen during the regular session? So if they had a hard time doing it in a regular session, they're going to call a special session and do it in a day or two or three, whatever that is. I doubt that that's probably going to change things a whole lot for them.
So a lot of information there from Dan Hawkins, the Kansas representative who was on the drive yesterday with Carrington Harrison. I believe he will have a representative of Missouri today to either retaliate to those comments or give some more information that we've already heard for the last 2.5 years. I'm quite frankly sick and tired of it, but now we are to the point where it's Kansas and Missouri are basically RG3 and Ryan Clark at this point.
Yeah.
You can decide who's right or who's wrong, but I'm tired of listening to both. Is that a good analogy?
Well, you're not going to have too much longer. Okay. I mean, it's coming to
an
end
here.
Also,
did he do that interview after going up the stairs?
I know,
in the
right?
Odyssey building? Mother of mercy. Like, if I was scared to be like, hey, buddy.
Catch your breath.
I'm like, dang, dude, I know those stairs are brutal at 5:20 in the morning, but I don't know if he did. And then he, you know,
I would say 4 months ago, I felt like the Royals were probably the best chance, and I still think they are. But the Chiefs are coming on strong, and based on some of the things that I know is that some of the talks that I know are happening out there, I think we got a really good chance of getting both of them.
Sounds like a very hungry laugh. I don't
Did
mean
you
that
hear that
mean,
laugh at the end?
It's a little like, hey.
So I think we got a shot at getting both of them.
Representative Kansas doing exactly what he should be doing, right? Like coming out here and talking about, you know, how I think the Chiefs are pushing hard to come here. The Royals, I didn't think at first, but now it sounds like they might be joining the bandwagon as well and moving across state lines. I think I don't speak for everyone, but I'm at this point. Damn it, can we just end it? It's to the point where it's not laughable anymore, where I'm like, wake me up when the stadium talk ends. Now I'm just like, okay, this guy's clearly going to, you know, plug Kansas and tell you exactly what somebody who does this show right next to me has been telling you for the last 2.5, 3 months, maybe longer. And now all of a sudden, like, is that same energy of people, because I'm still the same, just end it. I don't care. I voted yes. I'm a Jackson County resident, probably like one of the only few in this station that is actually voted yes or no, because that was where I live. I know Carrington was there as well. You, Rob, Drew, no.
Cole, Alex, no. Cody, no.
Yes.
No, he's Cody's not Jackson no. County, no. Yeah, you're the only, you and Carrington, yeah.
So, and again, voted yes, hoped it passed, it did not. What that vote showed me in the reality of that is that Jackson County had no desire to continue stadiums, and then the opportunity to keep them was now in the hands of everybody else. And that's where we're at. And now some of the same people that voted no are the same people that are pissed at the chances that the teams might leave the state.
That's exactly right. And you know, I listened to Dan Hawkins this morning when I came in to the interview with Carrington, and I'm like, oh, not really a lot of new information than what we've been telling you. I mean, it's been pretty steady since I go back to February of 24, before the vote even took place. And I remember, I think it was like February 26th, 27th, 28th, and we were on the radio, and I said, hey, here's the deal. If this vote fails, there will be other municipalities that step up and make offers to both the Chiefs and the Royals. And we're seeing that happen, you know, right before our eyes. We're seeing that take place right before our eyes. And that's the state representative, Dan Hawkins, you know, talking about it. And you notice most people in Kansas haven't said much of anything. A lot of the talking, and really all of the talking, has come from Mayor L and everybody on the Jackson County side of things. Kansas has been quiet. There's a reason Kansas has been quiet. They were getting their ducks in a row, as it sure seems like. And I think sooner rather than later, we're probably going to have an announcement on both of these teams, because we do have a deadline. We have June 30th is the deadline for the state of Kansas. It's May 20th. That's, you know, 30, 10, 40 days or so that we've got that deadline. I would imagine we see something sooner rather than later on the Kansas side when it comes to both of these teams. And I've been pretty steadfast about that since probably around Halloween, November, that type of, you know, that Kansas is really involved in all of this. And if they're going to give the teams, quote unquote, I hate to use the term free money because nothing's free, but essentially, if you're going to build two stadiums with a user tax that doesn't require a vote of the people, and you're going to give them that money and guarantee that money, the teams would be stupid to not take that money. They would be dumb to go back to a vote of the people on either side of the state line if they don't have to do that when they've got the money in Kansas. And the old saying is a bird in hand is better than two in the bush, right? Mm. The Kansas is the bird in hand. They've got the money. They've got the funding. They've got it all ready to go. And then on the Missouri side, you have no plan. right? You have no plan for funding whatsoever. And once you do get a plan in place, then you have to go to a vote of the people, which wouldn't happen at earliest till November. And now you're essentially 2 years behind where you wanted to be when the vote failed originally in Jackson County. Common sense would say you take the free money and no vote on the Kansas side of the state line, heartstrings, nostalgia, all that other nonsense that really doesn't matter, would say you stay on the Missouri side of the state line.
It's tough to say it doesn't matter being a Jackson County resident. I think it does matter.
Well, I mean, at this point, it doesn't anymore. It did. You had the opportunity to keep the teams. Jackson County emphatically
voted no.
No, but 60% of people did. It was an ass kicking.
I understand, but I mean, there's still nostalgia there. And I mean, there will always be that. I will always, whether it's there or not, when I drive by I-70 at that area, I will always look to my left or look to my right and know, like, my first time to go. So I say it doesn't matter. Nostalgia doesn't mean anything. That's not fair.
Well,
that does mean something. To some people, it did.
Sure.
Obviously, what you said, 60% of people said no. So to them, it did not matter according to their vote. But again, like, there were 40% of people that it did matter to. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think those people are still, you know, I think you need to give some sort of credibility to those people that were like, yeah, I want to keep the stadiums. I don't do that. I'm sorry that other people didn't. But, like, you know, Kansas City is Kansas City, and those stadiums are what I always remember about I-70. I can tell you everything around it. The FCA building, the Denny's when it burned down, like the hotels, Adams Mark, all that
stuff. It used to be open. Like, I think we got a Subway out there now. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That, you know, look, Jackson County had the opportunity. They had the right of first refusal, right, in all of this, and they refused. And the Chiefs and Royals had backup plans ready to go. Again, we're very fortunate to have Kansas and Missouri right next to each other in this metropolitan area where we can get another state to step up. And it doesn't have to be a state that's in California, like the Rams had to do, or Nashville, like the Predators had to do, or whoever the case may be that has moved and relocated, Oklahoma City and the Thunder, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Like, we're very fortunate that we have another state that is willing to step up and potentially be a player in all of this and make sure that the teams stay in our area, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what side of the state line they're on. It matters that they're in Kansas City. And as far as, you know, we can tell, the population in Johnson County is now the epicenter of the Kansas City area. It's where people with the expendable money goes, where the season ticket holders are going. It's where the population is shifting to at this point in time. And it's also shifting out to Wyandotte County at this point in time. But again, it comes back to the free money and no vote for me. If that was on the Missouri side, I'd be like, hell yes, take that. Don't go to a vote of the people when you have the opportunity to get free money for stadiums. Because as we know, people generally now anymore, they don't want to give owners money. You got a state willing to do it without a vote of the people. I think that's a brilliant idea by the state of Kansas, and it just makes too much sense to me. We'll see how it all plays out, though.
This is Mr. Hawkins on the expectation of a time of a deal.
I think, number one, we're kind of coming down to the end, so things are moving along pretty fast. You know, it kind of started off a little slow. It seemed like when it started off that the Royals were certainly moving in the right direction, and we didn't hear a whole lot from the Chiefs. And so I really anticipate hearing something on the Royals very soon. Now, in the last, 3 months, 4 months, the Chiefs has picked up their pace. And I know they've been in discussion, in many, many rounds of discussion with the Commerce Department. As far as knowing exactly where they're at, we don't. And there's a reason for that. Everything has to be kind of kept private until such time as they can come out with a good proposal. But we expect that to happen. We have about 6 weeks left before the end of that time for the star bonds to be used, and we really expect to get one or possibly even two proposals in, and we're going to evaluate them, and hopefully we're going to get them done and across the line.
So I don't know anything that was said in there that is informative other than that the Chiefs have become aggressive, the Royals have wanted to make a decision soon, and that they still don't know anything because they have to keep proposals quiet. So hopefully it ends soon is what I hope happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think sooner rather than later. Obviously, we've got 45 days or whatever it is, but, I mean, I don't think he said anything different than what I've been telling you guys all along, right?
Yeah.
No, he echoed a lot of what you were saying specifically with that the Royals are on a faster track, which is what you've been saying, but he also said there in that last, not that cup of the cup previous, that the Chiefs are surging and they're making momentum, which is also what you've, you know, relayed to us. So, yeah, here we are, getting close. Mm-hmm.
Who makes the move first?
Royals.
For sure.
I think so. That's kind of the way I feel like it's trending, right?
How quickly after does that happen for the Royals, and then how quickly do the Chiefs follow?
Let's just talk like human beings for a second, right? This is a big announcement for whatever team goes first. You let them have their flowers for, what, a week, 2 weeks? Celebrate that thing, and then you make your move, right?
Yeah, a week sounds good.
Because, honestly, let's say the Royals, for argument's sake, announce next week after the Memorial Day holiday, right? Now your time frame is even shorter for the Chiefs. So it's not like they've got another year. They can wait. They can think about this kind of stuff. The time is ticking. And that was the beauty of Kansas putting in the deadline for these star bonds to force these teams to make a decision one way or the other. Because if you didn't put an expiration on the star bonds for the stadium, oh, you go back and forth and dilly. You know how this would play mm-hmm. out. Kansas is like, we give you a year. You got a year to get this thing figured out. Take your year, figure it out, come back to us, but here's the hard deadline. So I think the Royals go first. I think the Royals go after the Memorial Day holiday, maybe, you know, the first week of June, however you want to say it. Pause, and then the Chiefs make their announcement, you know, one way or the other, you know, or if the Chiefs are going to stay in Missouri and renovate Arrowhead, which I think is a bad idea, that it's past the prime of renovating stadiums and you're going to invest all kinds of money for a 20-year Band-Aid and then re-up and be in this conversation again in 20 years. Who the hell wants to do that? Mm. In that situation, you know, in 20 years discussing another possible new stadium. So unless the Royals are just, or the Chiefs are just going to allow the star bonds to expire and not say anything, but I would imagine soon after, whoever makes that first jump, we will see a second jump. I can't imagine, but maybe I've been wrong before about things, that they do it together. I think this is an individual type of announcement where the Royals will have their day, then the Chiefs will have their day. And if the Chiefs don't say anything by June 30th, then, you know, obviously the Kansas stuff is off the table.
Just get to a resolution. That's all I want, just a resolution. A resolution that we may not get is the rivalry between RG3 and Ryan Clark. Didn't know this was a thing till yesterday, right?
I got my popcorn ready for this.
Let's
one,
go.
Man.
It doesn't show any end in sight. Somebody's going to say something really evil here in the next couple days.
Haven't they already? I mean, when you come in on somebody's wife, haven't you crossed the line? For somebody's sure. family, you've crossed the line.
You guys are familiar with the story, for those of you that aren't. I believe RG3 had a take about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and the rivalry in sports and what is drawing from evilness, because the NBA is investigating the WNBA is investigating the crowds of possible racial slurs towards Angel Reese. Not cool, right? Totally against that. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, RG3 makes his take on his platform, says what he says. Here comes Ryan Clark. Brings it the fact that RG3 is an African-American man with a Caucasian wife, I believe was the nuts and bolts of Ryan Clark's rebuttal towards RG3. RG3 then says he sprinted past the line of, you know, you don't touch. He didn't have any sort of remorse, didn't say anything else. And now we've got Emmanuel Nachos coming after.
Why is he inserting himself into the conversation?
Do I really need to answer that?
I mean,
come on.
Does anybody care what that guy has to say?
Of course, man.
Yeah. So I can tell you one lady. So
that's true.
He then comes out and says this. Now we've got this conglomerate of media personalities. And quite honestly, I wish that this just didn't happen. Like, we've taken something that's not about people and made it about individuals. We can't come to a resolution of hate speech in sports without having these people come out and bring themselves and their lives into it. This is where you take a back seat. This is where, if Bob gets information on the stadium, I don't come in and say, you know, well, I remember when I was 9 years old, the best scene that happened. Like, you just don't do that. And that's what these guys are doing. And, you know, act like men, call each other, don't go to social media and try to gain notoriety by something that you don't have any sort of position to talk about at the time. You've taken a, you know, sport of the WNBA, a conflict and a problem, and then you brought yourself into it. Here we are, 6:40. I get it. We're talking about it because it is a topic in sports world today.
It's the biggest topic in sports right now.
But I feel like sometimes you need somebody in your life to look at you and say, guess what, buddy? No one cares. Like, I get it. He said what he said. You're going to win if you don't respond and let him have this sort of, let other people go after him. Don't make this about you. And they've taken something that's not about them and made it about them in the most moronic way you could possibly do it. And now it's, you know, we're missing the point.
Yeah, it's become about individuals instead of about the actual rivalry that is taking place on the court. And I think, and I said it yesterday, it's the best rivalry we have in sports right now. I don't know if it's the best team rivalry, but it is definitely the best individual rivalry. The only problem is Angel Reese isn't that good at basketball. Like, I mean, if she was a better basketball player, maybe this could be more of a rivalry. But she has created this rivalry. She has created this hatred, or however it is that people have towards each side of this thing. And it's great for the WNBA. It's a brilliant way to kind of market the sport, because the sport itself isn't going to lend itself to bringing new fans involved. But a rivalry like this, where you're saddling up and you're picking sides and everybody's either side A or side B, I mean, that's great for the WNBA. They've done this in a very, very, very good way. But Angel Reese is taking it to the next level, I think, and really, really thinking that, like, Caitlin Clark is out to get her. Like, that was a basketball play the other day. That's all that was. That was not a flagrant foul or a foul with the way that Angel Reese acted like she was a thespian on Broadway. You know, like a soccer player out there. Yes. Falling all over the place because somebody fouled you as you were going to the hoop. It was what it was. It was a play. Regardless of what, you know, Caitlin Clark did, Angel Reese on the prior play was fouling people as well, pushing people out of the way. And so that's okay. But Caitlin Clark fouls her, and now it's, you know, World War III with announcers and everything like that going crazy and attacking each other. It's brilliant for the WNBA. And if they can continue to market this rivalry and continue to grow this rivalry, it's going to be great for the sport. But Angel Reese also has to get better as a basketball player, so her level of game is up to where Caitlin Clark's is, because there's a misconception out there that she's like the second best player in the WNBA.
Hell no.
Far from that.
Yeah.
Far from that.
Yeah, right now it's like Lance Stevenson with the Pacers and LeBron on the Cavs. Like, okay, this is fun for like a minute, but this isn't going to work for like a whole year.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So she has to find a way to step up her game and become a better basketball player. And quite frankly, she needs to become more likable too. She needs to have people rally around her and be on her side and go, no, Angel's right in this. Because right now I feel like there's a lot of people that are supporting Caitlin Clark in this one. And rightfully so. Caitlin hasn't done anything wrong in all of this.
Yeah, good basketball players. No, that's just a play foul. Coming up on the other side.